It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Jemison misses the layup badly. Aldama rebound, knocked away by Kuminga. Picked up Jackson Davis to Kuminga. Blasting by everybody. Goes down the right side and throws it down.
How about that speed?
A little elevation sensation for Kuminga.
It's time for Warriors Wrap-Up. We'll bring you into the locker room and hear from Coach Kerr and the players. Highlights from the game, Warriors Wrap-Up starts now.
All right, a bounce-back victory for the Golden State Warriors tonight as they completely gash, especially during the middle portion of that basketball game here at Chase Center. The Memphis Grizzlies' final score, 137-116. This is Warriors Wrap-Up on 95.7 The Game. My name is Evan Giddings. The Warriors, a necessary victory in just about every sense of the word necessary. As the Grizzlies come out, they shoot the hell out of the basketball, they regress to the mean, and the Warriors just absolutely drub them from about the two-minute mark of the second quarter on. They use a 22-0 run from the end of the first half to the beginning of the second half to separate themselves from a Grizzlies team that they got into it a little bit with over the course of this evening, specifically Draymond Green. I thought the Warriors got some good play specifically from their front line in a game in which Steph Curry only has to play 24 minutes and only scores 14 points, that you win by 21 is a good night for Golden State. So they shoot 58% from the field. They shoot nearly 50% from three-point range. And they also have a ridiculous assist-to-turnover ratio. So I got to tip my cap to my co-host earlier on today on Warriors Live, Mark Grandy, because both of us absolutely locked in our Fremont Bank predictions that were both correct here this evening. Grandy had the Warriors scoring 30 or more points in the first quarter, which they did. They scored 33. And I had them turning the ball over less than 12 times while also having a 4-1 turnover to assist ratio, or assist to turnover ratio. They had a season high 43 assists. Offensively, this is a game in which you cannot nitpick much. And it's a game in which, quite frankly, that should happen. Like, they should take care of a Grizzlies team whose injury report is longer than my rap sheet in college, well, specifically sophomore semester, but that's not really neither here nor there. 11 men on the injury report tonight for Memphis. I mean, the only mainstays in the lineup were Desmond Bane, who was pretty poor tonight. He shot 2 of 13 from the floor. And then Jaren Jackson Jr., who cleaned up most of his 28 points in garbage time when the game was already over. So this was a Memphis team that, I mean, the only guy that I thought really came to play, well, two guys, I guess, G.G. Jackson, who seems to be a Warriors killer going back to the MLK Day game. He had a game-high 35. But then Santi Aldama, who had 21 points in the first half and had another big shooting night. There was another big shooting night from a no-name player on another team. On Monday night, it was Miles McBride. Tonight, it was Santi Aldama. He tied a career high with 6 threes as the Grizzlies, I think, made 12 threes in the first half. They made 8 of them in the first quarter. They were shooting the lights out. And then the Warriors' defensive strategy, which it's kind of interesting, like listening to both Steve Kerr and then Taylor Jenkins, who also had a tough night, and we'll get into that in a moment. Listening to both of the head coaches, they were pretty much aware of what the game plan was. Like, this was not a complicated game for Golden State. Now, they've made games like these more complicated than they've needed to be, especially in Memphis, when the Grizzlies shot a ton of threes, made a ton of threes, and upset the Warriors on MLK Day with pretty much the Memphis hustle. Like, not even Desmond Bane was available for that game. You know, Morant's been out for most of the season. Steven Adams, Brandon Clark, Derrick Rose, all their players that are worth, Marcus Smart, who are worth their salt, have not been active for the majority of the season, and neither were they there tonight. So the Warriors basically just said before the game, and Taylor Jenkins echoed it, just let them shoot. I mean, and it looked like that in the first half, really the first quarter. They were just letting Memphis take as many threes as they wanted. And to their credit, the Grizzlies were hitting them. So you look up at halftime, and it's not that big of a lead. I mean, it was 7 points at the break, and then the Warriors with the 9-0 run that they used at the end of the first half combined with the 13-0 run that they went on out of the break in the third quarter was really where they got separation in this game. But I think there's a couple of key pieces to me that I kind of looked at and took away from this game. Number one, the front court for Golden State was night and day different than the front court against the New York Knicks. Now, the Grizzlies are not a very good basketball team. They're 23 games under 500 for a reason. But that's a game in which Andrew Wiggins, Jonathan Kuminga, and Draymond Green should dominate them. I'm not saying that they should have dominated a much better front court from the New York Knicks, but I didn't expect them on Monday to get bullied the way that they did, specifically Green and Wiggins. Tonight, it was like the Warriors got woke up by that loss on Monday, and they knew they had to turn it on. And so this is kind of the strange place that we sit in, where they had a horrible loss on Monday. To me, this is a bounce-back game on Wednesday. But what happens on Friday against the Indiana Pacers determines to me whether or not tonight was a get-right game. I mean, you look up and down, they had 7 in double figures. Again, they had a season-high 43 assists, only turned the ball over 6 times in the game. They hit 19 threes. Klay Thompson was good off the bench and continues to be good off the bench. Curry didn't have to do much offensively. It was pretty much all up to the wings, as well as Draymond. Draymond had 10 points, 12 rebounds, 7 assists, was a game-high plus 25, also picked up a technical foul. But Wiggins and Kuminga also led the way, and this is a game in which the Warriors, I think, in addition to using their talent, with any sort of effort, were going to win this game, and that's what at least they displayed after the first quarter, in my opinion. Now, I do think that the event that kind of triggered it all, and I'm curious what people feel about it at 888-957-9570. Again, this is Warriors wrap-up here on 95.7 The Game. I see on the Comcast Business text line, everyone in the YouTube chat powered by First NorCal Credit Union. To me, where this game turned, and Chris Paul kind of said it on television after the game, but it was Draymond Green's kerfuffle with Desmond Bane and the Memphis Grizzlies in the second quarter. I mean, that was pretty much my biggest note that I took down in that game. You have the 6:38 mark, which is really where it starts. So Santi Aldama, gets, you know, an easy layup, follow-up, and kind of looks at Draymond Green, like stares him down. It looked like he might have been trying to walk through him for a moment, and Draymond essentially said, don't do that. And at that point, Draymond even pushed him a little bit underneath the basket. I'm not sure if they showed it on television, but he gave him a light shove. And the Memphis bench was wondering where the tech was. To be quite frank, I thought there might have been reasoning to give Draymond a technical foul right then and there, but they did not. There was no call, no whistle. They go back down the floor. Warriors get a basket, and then there's a timeout called, and Draymond's walking over to the bench, and the Memphis Grizzlies want to start something, and he's not one to, of course, back down from a confrontation. That, to me, is where the fire was lit tonight for the Warriors. It just felt like it shouldn't have been necessary, in my opinion, for a team that's as bad and depleted as the Memphis Grizzlies. So Desmond Bane, not even Aldama, Bane gets into Draymond's face. Draymond turns around, says, who you talking to? And then during the stoppage, Taylor Jenkins, I guess, kind of got backed into. I think Gary Payton II was the guy who made contact with him, but the whole scrum begins to move over towards the scorer's table. Someone backs into Taylor Jenkins. He hits the deck. Fortunately, he's okay, but it did take some time. In fact, there was a couple of people at Chase Center that were asking me near the media section what had happened. I thought it was an assistant coach for the Grizzlies in the moment, but I knew that Draymond was in the center of it. And when they come out of it, they award double technical fouls. Draymond gets one. Desmond Bane gets one. Boom, they go from there. At that point in the game, it's a two-point game. The Warriors outscored the Memphis Grizzlies the rest of the way by 23. And really from that end of the first half to about four or five minutes into the third quarter, it was an absolute boat racing. I mean, they had them even, and then they just took the lead and didn't look back. They scored back and forth in the tail end of the third quarter and end of the fourth quarter, but the game was over. The game was over probably with, like, I mean, I would say 7 minutes left in the third. Memphis was just taking 3 points. They took 49 three-pointers tonight of their 96 shots. And this is not a very good three-point shooting team. They're not a team that's laced with three-point shooters. And without Aldama, who had a career night, and Gigi Jackson, who, to his credit, has had some big games, specifically against the Warriors, but this year he's shooting 36% from three. He's about league average. He made seven threes. So Aldama and Gigi Jackson had 13 of the 18 makes from deep for Memphis tonight as they took 49 threes. And it was pretty much they were either going to live or die by the three. And for the first quarter, maybe first half of the second quarter, they were living with it. And then the Warriors woke up. I don't think necessarily the defensive effort in my mind changed. It was the Grizzlies just came back down to earth. And the Warriors used that to pretty much just roll in this game. Again, final score 137-116. The Warriors score 108 points through the first three quarters to put away, just gash the Grizzlies in blowout fashion. Perhaps a blowout that they needed. I think these kind of games, and again, I think these sort of games, while they are necessary, I mean, you got to win them. Unfortunately, you didn't get any help from the 8 seed in this scenario, because the other place my mind is going is, well, how are we scoreboard watching at this point in the season, right? Because at this area, you are 4 games above 500, but 68 games in, you now got 14 left. Not a lot of time, especially to make up the 3.5 games now that they are out of 8th place, with Phoenix also winning tonight. So I guess they created a minute amount of separation from Houston for people concerned with the now 6-in-a-row win Rockets that seem to be streaking and at least trying to make an outside chance at getting the 10 seed. But the Warriors, you know, are looking at a Phoenix team that goes into Milwaukee, or that hosts Milwaukee. No, I'm sorry, Philly. Milwaukee actually was in a tight game with Boston. That game came down to the wire, which is pretty interesting. But Phoenix holds off Philly, and then Sacramento goes up to Toronto and just shellacks the Raptors. So they didn't really get any help from either of those two teams. They do make up a half game of ground on Los Angeles, but that's not something that really matters until the weekend when the Lakers play next. So, I mean, you know, the Warriors are as much scoreboard watching as they are playing their own game. Phoenix and Sacramento, by the way, also play tomorrow on a back-to-back, so we'll keep a look at that. But the Warriors had to handle their business tonight, and they did, to their credit. Through the tail end of the first half, through the beginning of the second half, they absolutely drubbed the Memphis team that they should have beaten very badly, and they did. So from that perspective, they get credit. But to me, again, it's a bounce-back game. It's not a get-right game by any means. That remains to be seen when they play an Indiana Pacers team that is 8 games above 500, that is out of their own play-in tournament, and that is also in a position to where they want to keep Miami at bay as the 7 seed out of the 6. So they have something to play for, too, as well as potentially climb the ranks, because they might not want to face Cleveland in the first round of the Eastern Conference playoffs. They might want a more favorable matchup against Orlando or possibly New York. So the Pacers are coming into town with a lot to play for, and of course the Warriors need every single win that they can get before they hit a 5-game roadie. Not to look too far ahead, but the first 3 games of that trip, Minnesota over the weekend, and then a back-to-back in Florida, which is always tough against Orlando, a place they haven't won in a few years, I believe, and then Miami the day after. So You know, the Warriors need as many wins as they can get, which is where this one helps against a Memphis team that is, you know, officially eliminated from playoff contention. They don't care about their season. The only thing they're trying to do is compete and develop at this point. And the Warriors just simply beat them because they were better than them. So, again, the number is 888-957-9570. Evan Giddings with you here on Warriors Wrap-Up on 95.7 The Game. Appreciate everyone tuning in here, as well as chiming in on the Comcast Business text line. That is the number for that as well. I see on YouTube, I'm right with you, J-Tan. The Grizzlies got boat raced in the third. They absolutely did. And drew down with a, I'll give you a three. Captain Clay led the boat race. No, Clay has been very good since he has gone to the bench. And I know a game like this doesn't necessarily, you know, lend itself to, you know, wholesale credit, because I guess how valuable of a performance is it against the Grizzlies? But you look at what Clay has done since he's gone to the bench, and I don't think it could be understated how much he has embraced his sixth man role, seventh man role, however you want to slice it with Chris Paul. Klay Thompson just logged his sixth 20th point game off the bench. He's only come off the bench 12 times. You do the math. It's also the eighth time in those 12 games that he's made five or more threes. Again, I'll let you do the math. He only had 12 games in his first 53 starts of the season in which he had five threes or more. And he's shooting 45.3% from downtown since coming off the bench. So Klay Thompson, I think the efficiency is obviously something you love to see. But being able to just take that firecracker, that flamethrower mentality, and squish it into 25 minutes a game has produced wonders for Klay. And it may be a reason that he elongates his career, not just hopefully with Golden State, because I think that they are going to try and bring it back at the right price next season, but also for his career as a whole. I mean, Klay Thompson is at the point where playing 35 minutes a game is not where he's going to be most efficient. In my opinion, 25 minutes, and even looking around the rest of the aging core, 25 to 30 minutes is probably the right place for someone like Klay Thompson. Draymond Green, Chris Paul might be 25 or 20 to 25, but if you can keep those three dudes who are, you know, on the back end of their careers in that minutes range, and you're able to supplement some of the, you know, them not being on the court with their younger players, which were fantastic tonight, well, then you can kind of start projecting of how they can pick up wins where they should. And I think that's probably the biggest reason to me why they have gone on the run they have since Draymond returned. You look at the workload that Draymond's had to take on, the workload that Klay Thompson now coming off the bench has had to take on, the workload that Chris Paul has had to take on now that Pajemski also is into the starting lineup but can kind of play on or off ball off the bench, or when he comes back in. You know, if you look at like the two-minute mark, when Curry comes out for his first rest, Chris Paul and Pajemski are generally back into the game. So altogether, the younger players, to me, cushion the workload of these older guys. And on a night like tonight, that's really valuable, because these are games where, in a condensed sense, you got games Monday, Wednesday, Friday, game on, game off, game on, game off. You're going to need to find games in which you can kind of quietly rest some of your older players. Curry, Draymond, and Klay all played 25 minutes or less tonight. You can throw Chris Paul in that category as well. That keeps them fresh for a team like Indiana on Friday, in which you might need to ride Curry for 32 to 34 minutes in order to make sure that you can get that win. And Curry didn't really have to work that hard tonight. He only took 9 shots, 4 of 7 from deep, by the way, making his 300th career three, which is always impressive and has not been done very often. I mean, Curry, 300 threes this season. It is the seventh time that that has happened in NBA history, a player making 300 or more threes. And to put it in perspective, Curry's done it 5 times. The other two players are his fellow Splash brother, Klay Thompson, as well as James Harden. Now, Harden has the second most threes in a season. I believe the number is 378. Curry, of course, has north of 400. There's a big gap there. But in order for him to catch Harden for the second most made threes in a single season, I think he's going to have to make about 5.5 to 6 the rest of the way. not by any means out of bounds or out of range for Curry, but that's a lot to ask of a guy that is now 36 years old, but still appears to be shooting it as well as ever. So again, phone lines are open at 888-957-9570. Evan Giddings with you on Warriors Wrap-Up here on 95.7 The Game. Let's get out to Tracy. Bring on Drew Down. Drew Down, my man. How are you? What's going on?
Hey, what's going on, Evan? You're doing a bang-up job as usual, man.
My man.
Great win for this team. I'm not too concerned about the seeding right now. I just want to say just win games, man. I don't care who we're playing. Just win games. At this point, I'm more concerned about, you know, the quality of basketball this team's playing. So a great win tonight. I thought Wiggins was so key. I'm not sure if you saw on Twitter or some of the Reddit about his Andrew Wiggins' brother Nick playing in Indonesia. Apparently left his team early to come home stateside to attend to a serious family matter. So obviously that kind of tells me that there is something, really something to that Wiggins absence. But maybe his brother going home give Wiggins a peace of mind, because tonight I thought Wiggins was really engaged. I thought he had one of his best games in a while. So, hopefully, obviously maybe next game he might revert back. But I'm hoping that, this Wiggins has some peace of mind and he can, play like this. Because if he's playing like this, his team has some action. If not, then we don't. So just a great game for Wiggins. Obviously, the end to the second quarter and start to the third quarter was huge. That definitely broke open the game. The first quarter was a little sketchy. Aldama, I thought, was out-dominating the Warriors from three-point line. He was hitting threes. The end to the second and start to the third really, really broke the game open and obviously made the difference. I thought Kuminga was really good tonight. He was doing his normal, work in the paint. I thought he was hitting some middies, some jumpers. He was hitting three-pointers, two steals. So just a really great game from Kuminga. Really happy to see that. And that Trayce Jackson-Davis, man, he's such a beast in the pick and roll. I feel like it's been a while since the Warriors had a pick and roll threat from the five who could, set a good screen, roll to the basket. And I think his hands are really good, kind of underrated. There's a lot of passes that are kind of in traffic, and I feel like his hands are good. He's able to collect it. He's 6 of 8. Yeah, 2 blocks. So I love the way Trayce is playing, and hopefully he continues, on this upward path. Klay Thompson off the bench, man, making shots. I thought when he's patient and takes his time, he knocks it down. Sometimes, he rushes, but I feel like he's made a more conscious effort to be a little more patient. I thought he was great. I love him and Trayce together. I feel like they have a good connection. So I love him. Him, CP3, Klay, and TJD off the bench. I love that trio. I think they have a good chemistry. They all kind of have different roles and really work well together. And then shout out Chris Paul, man. 12 points, 14 assists, 0 turnovers. People talking about, Chris Paul's washed, get him off his team. He's been one of the more consistent players off his team. So 14 assists, 0 turnovers is ridiculous. 7 turnovers as a team, 43 assists. That's the kind of offense that obviously we can't expect that every game, but that's the kind of offense that this team is capable of. So, Draymond had a great floor game, man, all around. I don't know who the Grizzlies thought they were. I thought they were Mike Jack trying to start something, but double tech. They had the weak double tech, but Draymond had a great all around floor game. I thought Pods made some plays, he had rebounds, assists. He's just been, for whatever reason, struggling on offense. But if Kuminga and Wiggins are gonna play like that, I think his scoring is less of an issue as long as he's doing the little things for this team. So I think some people might be a little knee-jerk and say, putting Klay off the bench over Pods, but I don't think so, man. Klay in his role right now is really excelling. I don't think that's the answer, at least not right now. So hopefully, Pods, he didn't have a horrible game, just didn't put the ball in the bucket, but, he made an impact. Just a great win overall. And, like I said, but we've been inconsistent, so you got to bring it the next game. Cause you can't just, be all giddy over this win and then come back the next game and lay an egg. So great win. Let's see if, we can, build on this, and hopefully Wiggins can build. I think Wiggins is the key, man. Can Wiggins stay engaged and play like this? Cause if he does, we got action. But if not, we might be struggling. So shout out Wiggins, man. Hopefully he can put it together for the rest of the year. Thanks, Evan.
Appreciate it, Drew Down. Yeah, no, a lot of stuff to chew on. And, just off that last piece, Wiggins, look, you got to give him credit for tonight. As far as expecting something from him in the future, I think that's just a really difficult thing for me to do right now. And I think it's difficult for a lot of members of this fan base just based on kind of what we've seen from him. It sounds like what might be going on off the court. You know, you bring up that point about Nick Wiggins posting on IG earlier today that he is leaving his team. He plays in Indonesia, and he's leaving his team for the remainder of the season to go to attend to a serious family matter. Not to say that, like, it's all of a sudden okay or it affirms what Wiggins did. Wiggins didn't need affirmation to take a personal leave last season or this season. Whether it's impacted the team in a negative manner or not doesn't really matter when you got stuff going on that's personal. And whether it's our business or not also doesn't really matter. But I think it might help a little bit for the fans just to kind of grapple with wondering where and when he was going to be. You know, Andrew Wiggins' brother announced that he had to cut his season short due to personal issues back home. But again, in a game like tonight, look, I've been really critical of Andrew Wiggins, and at different times throughout the season, I've discussed the trade possibility, and I feel like that's still something that the Warriors should look at with a heavy eye this offseason. But you got to give him his credit where credit is due, and these are the type of games that make it really tough to assess or to expect Wiggins or to feel that kind of closest to him as a player. Because, look, I'm going to just come out and say it. Like, Andrew Wiggins was the hardest worker of the game, which, by the way, is brought to you by Alameda County Sheriff's Office, who works hard to serve the community. Are you looking for a career in law enforcement? If so, learn more about job opportunities at joinacso.com. Andrew Wiggins played a game-high 29 minutes tonight. Scored 22 points, had 10 rebounds, was the third double.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Double of the season, six offensive boards. I thought he looked engaged. And he did it against a Memphis team that, like, that's the kind of game that if Wiggins is engaged against, he's going to play well. He's going to put up numbers. The question is, will he do it on Friday against Indiana? And I cannot definitively tell you that that's the case. So I think where Wiggins is at for me, I do want to give him credit for tonight because it appears that he does have, and his family has, some personal issues that are far beyond our comprehension. And his brother posting that he's leaving his team in Indonesia for the rest of the season illustrates that. So we don't know where Wiggins is mentally. But on a night like tonight, he managed to put all of that aside of what he's got going on off the court, and he locked in against a Memphis team that the Warriors, however you want to slice it, needed to beat. And they beat them definitively. And his performance was definitive. And he was engaged on both ends of the floor. And Wiggins was, along with Kuminga and Green, a part of a front line that put its foot down and said, we're not going to be beat tonight. And for that, you got to give him credit. Can we expect his engagement every single night? Evidence says no. But my question about Wiggins is, can we expect this level of energy in two of three games? Again, he's the only player on this team that you could define as being in his prime. That's where Wiggins has become the X factor for so many people. And this is a larger conversation, not just about the Memphis game in which he looked good, but can he look good against Indiana? Can he play well when he returns to Minnesota over the weekend? They got Orlando-Miami coming up. How is Wiggins going to play in games that the Warriors will still absolutely need to win in order to position themselves to either get out of the play-in tournament or challenge for a first-round postseason series? How is he going to play consistently over an extended stretch? That is a question that he has not been able to answer, either for personal reasons or for just basketball purposes, for the better part of two seasons. And I think that's people's gripe with Wiggins. Tonight, he was fantastic, and I do want to give him his flowers. But I cannot say that this same Wiggins is going to show up on Friday. I want him to, because I think he does unlock a different part of this Warriors team. But it's really difficult to trust, and that's where the kind of give and take, the push and pull with Andrew Wiggins lies for myself, as well as I think a large portion of the fan base. So 888-957-9570 is the number. Evan Giddings with you on Warriors wrap-up here on 95.7 The Game. Appreciate Drew down there. Let's get out to Jose, who's coming back from the game. What's going on, Jose? How are you, my man?
Hello, how you doing? I just want to say something about Wiggins and JK. I mean, Wiggins been doing so good, and I think it's that fresh haircut he just got, that he was just nailing it tonight. And JK, he's just outstanding. You know, he's like a Jordan out there. But I know we don't have that much time, so I'm going to pass it to my lady real quick. She got something to say real
okay.
So we were in section 126. I think I might be the person that asked you what was going on in the media section.
Oh!
To find out when Draymond got a text. I think that was me.
Yeah. What's
going on?
No problem.
It was so fun out there, too.
Yeah, thanks for responding and actually trying to help us understand what was happening.
No, thank you. No, I feel like I've seen you before. At least, like, both of y'all have incredible energy. So, first of all, thank you for being fantastic Warriors fans.
Those are my seats. Yeah, yeah. Go. We still believe that we can make this into the playoffs, and nobody wants to see us in the playoffs. So, we still believe.
I appreciate it. We got to get in the play-in first, though. But, you know, I think tonight was a great start.
That's right. All right, go Warriors.
Appreciate that. Thank you so much, Jose and his lady. No, they were talking to me from the media section just during the little scuffle between, you know, Draymond and the Grizzlies and all that stuff. And I should ask for a name. I forgot, but she was is Draymond going to get in trouble? And I think I responded with something like, "Well, not yet. Like they haven't given him the technical foul yet." And I was just kind of holding it in because I felt like the T was on its way, and unfortunately, Draymond did pick up another one. But to Draymond's credit, I think I should have this off the top of my head, but I think it's the second or third technical foul he's picked up since he's been back. I mean, I don't know if the referees have been a little lighter with him or he's just been on his best behavior. But again, I think that moment was a fire starter for Golden State, and it kind of kicked things into high gear. So, you know, you can either take that as in Memphis just kind of poked the bear, or how did they find that inner, I don't know, just that inner energy that's, you know, kind of, I don't know, personal battle with another team? How can they find that on an individual and a one-game basis? Because if that had happened against New York, I think that might have kicked them into high gear. But they weren't able to kind of conjure up enough to beat a Knicks team that was down three starters. But Memphis, I think partially is because they also knew that they were just good enough to beat them. Like, they could roll the ball out there and take care of business as long as the Grizzlies didn't make 25 threes, which eventually they fell off a cliff and did not do. But, you know, maybe it's taken those kind of personal one-on-one matchups. Someone like Draymond Green, you know, he's at an age where he might need to kind of find that one-on-one guy. It wasn't going to be Jaren Jackson Jr., by the way, and not because Jaren Jackson Jr. is good, but because Jaren Jackson Jr. is a Michigan State guy. Like, they were actually chopping it up after the game, and it was kind of funny because Jaren Jackson took it at Draymond a couple times in the second half. There's a few post-ups in which he got to the cup and scored, and it was just funny looking at them interact after the game, and they were kind of laughing, and Jaren Jackson kind of put his, like, his forearm on Draymond as if he was almost reenacting, you know, the post move that he scored on him with. And, like, it was all good fun and that kind of stuff. But Draymond, he's not going to go at guys that he's got personal connections to. But the Santi Aldamas of the world, or the Yusuf Nurkic's, like, he's not afraid to take it at them. And if that's what he needs to wake the hell up sometimes, or what he needs to wake up the rest of the Warriors, who on Monday just looked like they sleptwalked through most of the game against the Knicks, then so be it. Against Indiana, dude, Draymond, get pissed off Pascal Siakam. I don't know, he beat you in the 2019 finals. Like, take it at him. Let's see if we can get this team riled up. So, I mean, I thought that was kind of an interesting dynamic to the game as well. All right, let's continue on with the calls here before we get to a break. Also got Steve Kerr coming up. We will have his comments after the 137-116 victory for the Golden State Warriors tonight at Chase Center. Now four games above 500, back to 500 at home in terms of the record, 18-18. Evan Giddings with you on 95.7 The Game. Let's get out to Alameda. Bring on Tony. Tony, my man, how you doing?
Hey, good evening. Thank you for taking my call. Yes, I just want to talk about, you know, Chris Paul. I know he's kind of, he's in a shadow right now. People not really picture him right now because he's, what, 38 years old. But this guy here, I know he's 38 years old. He's doing it by his little perimeter, okay? They're afraid of him taking a shot, so they're doubling him. And I remember him when he was with the Clippers. He's a lob city. You know, DeAndre Jordan and Griffin. He's that type. He likes big guys that would go right in the paint and just toss it and just slam it. He's that type. He's got an eye for this, okay? But he's a good fit in there right now. Like I said, you know, big guys, we need a big guys besides, you know, what I know we want tonight, you know, without Ja Morant, maybe it could have been different with him in there. It could have been something else. But Chris Paul is a big difference for the Warriors right now. Okay, and also, and Looney, he played tonight. Is he being on one of these, they're keeping him in holding there, or is he going to be out next year? That's why he's not playing that much now. You know, they put him in there for 6 minutes or so, and I was kind of curious about that. They didn't put him the last three games, I think.
Yeah.
Okay, that's my take right now. So right now, CP3, he did great tonight, and Curry, he's going to get there. Okay, thank you for taking my call.
Of course, thank you, Tony. Yeah, unfortunately, I think Moody's kind of already out of the rotation, or he's kind of been out of the rotation. But that's what makes someone like Trayce Jackson-Davis, I think, so important to the rest of this season, and also a potential run if the Warriors have one in them. TJD has been playing big minutes, and I think that's large for a couple reasons. Number one, he's good. Trayce Jackson-Davis should be playing more. I think he offers an obvious rim-running threat, a lob threat in the game that became like a freaking dunk contest for him and Jonathan Kuminga throughout the full 48. But he also offers rim protection. He's smart. I forget who it was talking. It might have been Jason Timpf was on Steiny and Guru with us earlier today. And I was lucky enough to fill in for Guru. And so, you know, was just listening intently to Timpf. and he was discussing something that I was looking for tonight from TJD, which was like the little details, the minutia of the game as far as angles for picks, slipping screens, and then, you know, just kind of the overall awareness that TJD tends to have. It's funny. So shout out Pierce Evans, if he's still in the YouTube chat, was wishing everyone a happy March Madness. But it starts tomorrow, and, you know, we're just kind of watching the games tonight. It just reminded me, Trace Jackson Davis played 120 college games, in addition to, I'm sure, a few postseason matchups in March. That's a lot of basketball. And when you play that much in a team format, and you're forced to be, you know, a dude, like Trace Jackson Davis was a 20-10 player at Indiana, you're going to learn some idiosyncrasies, and you're going to learn how to be successful with what you got. And Trace is someone that, you know, doesn't really have a jump shot, but he doesn't need one to fit in with this team. And the chemistry that he's developed with the rest of the bench, like, again, the top eight to me, in addition to the starters, the last three guys are quite obviously to me, Chris Paul, Klay Thompson, Trace Jackson Davis. TJD, to me, when he is right with CP3, whether it's as a roller, an alley-oop, you know, partner, I think he just opens up so much more for this team. And then secondly, in addition to just his production, his overall talent, he takes pressure off of Draymond, and he's able to either play alongside Dray and move him to the four. He's also able to play minutes and take some of that off Draymond's plate to keep him more fresh in games like this, sure, but more importantly down the stretch, because Draymond's going to have to play a lot of big minutes at the five if I think the Warriors are to be at their highest level. So, like tonight, if you look at the bench, and again, this is all under the guise of the Memphis Grizzlies, who had 11 men on the injury report, who are a terrible basketball team, and for the most part trotted out the Memphis Hustle tonight. By the way, that's their G League squad. The bench was, like, that's exactly how you want it to run. Trace Jackson Davis had 13 points. He only had 5 rebounds, but a couple of blocks, was catching lobs, was finishing around the rim, 6 of 8. Still need to see him better at the free throw line, was 1 of 4. Klay Thompson, even though he does have the chemistry with TJD, like, he had 8 assists on Monday against the Knicks. That's all well and good. In my opinion, where Klay needs to be at his best for this team to be successful is as a scorer. Now, that doesn't mean he can't pass the ball, but Klay, I think, is well-suited to look for his shot. 18 shots in 25 minutes off the bench is fine for Klay Thompson if they're condensed. He can hunt more as a sixth or seventh man, and that's where I think he needs to be more effective, because on a given night, yes, Wiggins was good this evening, Kuminga obviously scored, but against most teams, Klay's going to have to be either the third or sometimes potentially second score for this team. That's just what he, even off the bench. So I want to see him in the role that he was like tonight, where he's taken 11 threes and he's able to make enough at a high clip. Meanwhile, Chris Paul is doing what he was brought into, which is facilitate the second unit. 14 assists and 0 turnovers for Chris Paul. That is nothing to scoff at. He was extremely efficient tonight, and I thought he was also really good against the Knicks. Though that game was marred by just overall mediocrity, Chris Paul, I thought, was the best player for the Warriors in the first half against the Knicks. He was the reason why they were in that game and only down 6 points at the break, in my opinion. Tonight, ho-hum, just continuing to move the basketball. He was throwing lobs to Kuminga. He was getting it down to Trace. He was setting up Klay Thompson coming off picks. Chris Paul, these three players that are the three guys off the bench right now, highest in my opinion, Klay Thompson the scorer, that's what he was tonight. Chris Paul, the general, in the second unit, that's what he was tonight. And Trace Jackson Davis, the backup five that can offer you anything you want in the paint as far as rim protection and rim running. All three of those guys off the bench, I think what they looked like tonight is an ideal role for those three individuals as far as scoring, passing, and then cleaning up everything around everyone else. So that, to me, is kind of what you want to use as, I guess, ideal bench setup in an 8-man rotation or 9-man rotation, depending on when things shrink. By the way, but before we hit a break here, Brandon Podziemski. I mean, I kind of feel bad for that. I know he played 23 minutes. That dude got clocked in the first half, and that's why he ended up in the locker room, didn't make his way out until I think around the beginning or towards the tail end of the second quarter. He was on the bench, but he didn't come back into the game. But Bajemski was looking like Jack Dempsey. Like, this dude was – he just takes shots, whether it's he's taken charges. I think he might have had another one tonight, at least drew an offensive foul. But when he got clocked by – I forget if it was Aldama or Conchar, but he took an elbow earlier in the game, and I didn't see it until after, but they zoomed in on his face, and he looked like a boxer. And he kind of looks like one – you know, a guy that can take a shot. He ends up on the ground a lot, some of which is a little bit enunciated, but other times he's just taking licks like he did tonight. And so credit to Bajemski for being able to take a punch. All right, 888-957-9570 is the number. Shout out to the Comcast Business text line. I see here from the 510, TJD's field goal percentage is amazing. His free throw percentage is not good. He needs to play more. I say 25 minutes is perfect. Where TJD is being used right now, I think that is a great spot for him to be able to help the Warriors, and in particular, Draymond Green. I also see it from the 510. He's probably someone that chimes in every single Saturday on our Warriors This Week show. This week it was Whitley Sandretto. Shout out to her. But usually myself and Dan Devone hold it down. This, by the way, this Saturday, myself and Mark Grandy are going to be at Freeman's Appliance in Pleasant Hill from 12 until 3. We're doing a live show out there, so feel free to stop by, say what's up, come through. It'll be a good time. We're talking Dubs. But to pay off the 510, let Wiggins jacket. I'm sure he's the same guy that texts in Jimmy Jacket every single Saturday, so shout out to you. On the other side, after we step aside and take a break, we're going to hear from Steve Kerr and also wrap up with some final thoughts after the Golden State Warriors defeat the Memphis Grizzlies 137-116, four games above 500. Still 3.5 out of the 8, but at least a half game behind the Lakers for the 9 seed as it stands right now. We'll be back with more Warriors Warriors wrap-up on 95.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Baseball season is heating up. Odyssey has you covered with the most entertaining coverage of your team. Stay locked in and in the know with the local voices you trust as they bring you unfiltered takes, recap games, react to the latest team news, and talk to callers. Listen to your favorite shows for free on the Odyssey app, Odyssey.com, your smart speaker, or in the car with Android Auto or Apple CarPlay.
5-7 the game after this.
Out of the timeout, Grizz with the ball. Bain gets open up top, fires away, missed it, and the rebound to Draymond Green. Long lead pass to Wiggins. Great catch. Layup, he flipped it up and in, falling out of bounds with his back to the basket. How did that happen?
Now back to Warriors Wrap-Up on 95.7 The Game.
Tim Roy on the call right there, voice of the Golden State Warriors here on 95.7 The Game. This is Warriors Wrap-Up. Evan Giddings with you, taking your calls at 888-957-9570 after the Golden State Warriors get back four games above 500, move to 500 at home with a 137-116 drubbing of the Memphis Grizzlies, of the dreadful Memphis Grizzlies. I mean, they had three players that basically showed up tonight, one of which I was not really aware had that in his game. I was unfamiliar with Santi Aldama's game, but I am familiar now after he ties a career high with 6 3-pointers. I mean, the Warriors for a second straight game just get absolutely torched by a no-name player, this time in the first half as opposed to the entire game, like Miles McBride on Monday, who had a career high across 46.5 minutes in the win by the Knicks. But it's just really interesting how these kind of guys from out of nowhere continue to light up Golden State. I don't know if that's damning. I don't know if it's random. But I know that they're like we've had a running list throughout the years of Warriors killers. And it feels like that list has gotten exponentially larger over the last now two seasons because they're not as good and because, I don't know, maybe teams smell blood in the water. Maybe Santi Aldama had something against Draymond, which is who he kind of got into with it before Desmond Bane took over and they both got teed up. I don't know. But either way, Draymond said it lit a fire under the team. And I think that most people feel that way because from that point on, they went on a 10-0 run into the half. They went on a 12-0 run out of the half. 22-0 run from the first to second half. Pretty much opened up the game for the Golden State Warriors as they score 108 points for the first three quarters and again cruise to a 21-point win. All right, before we hear Steve Kerr, let's get out to Hottie, who's been hanging on patiently in San Jose. Hottie, my man, how are you?
Yeah, hi, Evan. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, of course. What do you got?
Oh, yeah, so I was at the game today. First of all, you know, great game, great atmosphere there. And I think just mainly the main difference maker for us was Wiggs. I mean, yesterday, Steve Kerr went on to Willard and Diz, and he just said how Wiggs had just had to be more aggressive, right, and how he mainly just had to draw more plays for him. And I think today that's what he did. I think, you know, his three-point shooting was a difference for us. You know, he was everywhere on defense as well. And I just think it was a team effort today. Like you mentioned earlier, the bench with TJD, and even with Steph, just had 14 points, but I mean, we still blew them out, and just goes to show that, like, you know, this team can go far in the playoffs, you know, with all our guys healthy and especially with this consistency, but, you know, with 14 games left, I think, you know, just the goal right now is to get that 8-7 seed. And I think if we just play like today, if we see this consistency from Wiggs in the starting lineup, play off the bench and just all this bench scoring as well, I really think we could do that. Thanks, Evan.
Appreciate the call. No, thanks, Hottie. And I think, look, optimistically, I think that's what we all want, right? We all want Wiggins to play consistently. But it's funny, in a game like this, I think, look, he's a guy you got to give flowers to. He did play well against Memphis. Granted, it is a team that is now 24 games below 500. But if you want consistency, and I don't think it really is flying under the radar at this point, that the guy you're getting consistent offensive production from is his running mate. It's Jonathan Kuminga. Like, this guy has taken the necessary steps to where we're looking at him as the obvious secondary offensive option in the starting five for Golden State. He had a ho-hum 26 points. I think, you know, 8 of his 12 makes were dunks in this game. The dude was flying up and down the court. He was beating, by the way, an athletic. Like, that is the one area where I would give Memphis credit. They can run. This is a team that is young, that is athletic. Now, they're inexperienced, perhaps don't have as much skill, but they can get up and down the floor. And Kuminga was beating guys, whether it was off the dribble, whether it was in transition. He was leaking out. He was getting up, and he can raise above the rim. But 26 points in 28 minutes is also something that, and maybe this is a sign that Kuminga really has staying power. It didn't really feel like it was all that, like it was happening. It was noticeable. Like, that's something that some of the great scorers will do. If you're watching the game, and I know not everyone gets to go to the game, so this is, you know, a little privilege talking right here, but when you're kind of watching the flow and you're not paying attention to the box score, some of the points and tracking, and you don't hear the broadcast, no one's telling you what a guy's doing. Kuminga tonight, to me, was within the flow of the game, but the game operated at his pace to the point where I think it was he had 18 in the first half. I didn't think he had 18 points. That didn't mean I didn't think he was scoring. It didn't mean I didn't think he was in control. But you look up and it's like, wow, he's got an easy 18. And a lot of those were on dunks. He had a beautiful alley-oop from Chris Paul in the second half. But he got 26 points easily tonight. That is a sign of a score with staying power. And now he's scored 20 points in 9 of his last 12 games. Remember, there was a little stretch after Clay went to the bench. And I think there was an adjustment period for Wiggins when that happened. Because naturally, when you substitute Pajemski for Clay in the starting lineup, there's going to be less spacing on the floor. So there's less room to attack. Or you have to attack in a different manner. And I think Kuminga has taken a little bit of time to figure out where he fits. But with the starting lineup, along with Clay also coming in a little bit earlier in the first quarter and matching minutes and playing alongside Kuminga, he's figured out a way to just get his whenever he wants, especially against a team like Memphis. That's a team that a front court of Wiggins and Kuminga should be able to dominate. They did tonight. They scored a combined 48 points. They were 20 of 31 from the floor. They had 15 rebounds. Wiggins had 6 offensive boards. They also had 7 assists between them. And maybe most importantly, they did not turn the ball over once. So they didn't hurt themselves. They didn't hurt the team. And instead, they played within the flow of the game. And I think the flow of the game kind of latched itself to those two players tonight. So credit to Kuminga, who has become a steady offensive force for the Warriors, and credit to Andrew Wiggins, to his credit, who played well tonight. All right, let's listen to Steve Kerr, head coach of the Golden State Warriors, after the win this evening. Very curious what he had to say. Here's what the head coach, Steve Kerr, had to say after the Warriors win against Memphis.
They had come, I think, within 2 or so, and then you guys had a 10-0 run and then started the third with a 12-0 burst. I mean, how key was that stretch, and what was working to get stops and also just take it aggressively to them offensively?
Yeah, I thought those last few minutes of the second quarter were really key just to give us some momentum and a lead at halftime. But, you know, they scored... what they got 58 in the first half. So what we talked about at halftime was trying to take control of the third quarter and find a stretch where we could get 5 or 6 stops in a row and open up a lead. And the guys did that right away, which was great. And I just thought everybody played well. You know, the ball was moving beautifully. A lot of great individual performances, and it was a fun game to watch because took care of the ball. I mean, 43 assists and 7 turnovers. You just don't see that very often.
Jonathan with 26 points, several emphatic dunks. When he's going to the rim with force and power like that, and finishing like that, I mean, I think he has a franchise record for dunks in this season now. When the play-by-play era, what does that do for you guys as a team?
Yeah, it gives us a different dimension, just those easy baskets. But it's the force that he played with tonight. I thought it was maybe the best game I've ever seen him play at both ends. Just he was playing with intensity defensively. He got deflections. He was guarding the ball. But the way he played downhill, sprinting the floor, he is so fast. He's electric. And he's really learning to use that more often and in key times. And I thought tonight he was just brilliant. And he mixed in, along with that, just several plays where he caught it and immediately swung it because he recognized we had the advantage. So it seems to me like the game is really making more sense to him now and slowing down a little bit. And it was really fun to watch Jonathan tonight. He was brilliant.
I agree wholeheartedly. Yeah, again, that's Steve Kerr of the Golden State Warriors after their 21-point victory against the Memphis Grizzlies. Yeah, I agree. Watching Kuminga's fun. Like, he's one of the most exciting players that they've had from their younger core in quite some time. You know, the fact that he's doing it consistently has been even more of a welcome sight. So credit to Jonathan Kuminga, because this is also a game in which you expect him to dominate. Like, I don't know if people have gotten to that point with Kuminga yet, but games against younger, inexperienced, bottom-feeding, athletically driven groups, those are teams that he should be playing and dominating against. And to his credit, he's done that. I think the fact that the conversation tonight has been revolving around some of the inconsistent players, a la Wiggins, perhaps Klay Thompson, although he's been very good since coming off the bench. But Draymond Green, I don't think he played very well against New York. You know, we've talked a lot about those guys, but Kuminga has been a steady force. And that's why today on, you know, when I was filling in for Guru today, when we were talking about, you know, some of the focuses of this team as it pertains to the offseason, you know, in my mind, it's not necessarily getting younger from the standpoint of adding rookies and getting more inexperienced players, but lowering the overall age of this roster, I think you put yourself in more positions to win games like this against these kinds of teams. And the Warriors have not done that consistently enough over the last 2 years, in my opinion, because they found themselves looking at someone like Wiggins and saying, which guy are we going to get? Draymond Green, who's been dealing with some back tightness. You know, he's getting up there. Like, the Kamingas of the world, I think, are players that the Warriors have to lean into more. Not just because they're good, but Trayce Jackson-Davis now is to the point where 25 minutes in, he's getting 25 minutes a game. He's becoming more stable. He's becoming more dependable. And that's going to naturally help the older players on this team. That's going to help those guys age more gracefully. And it's also, like we touched on in the first part of this program, it's going to help someone like Curry get built-in rest during games that he shouldn't be playing 35 or, you know, even close to 35 minutes in. He played 24 minutes tonight, and I thought, large in part, kind of was able to put it in cruise control. You know, he let the bench do their thing tonight. He let the young guys get up and down. He let someone like Andrew Wiggins, who is still 29 years old, you know, play 29 minutes. Like, this is a game that, you know, in the micro sense is not all that big of a deal. I mean, they didn't move up much in the standings. You know, they got a win against a team they should beat. Well, they covered the 11.5 spread for those of you. Shout out Happy Degeneracy Month here in the month of March. But, you know, I think this is kind of a, you know, I think a game that you can kind of table and say, all right, when we play, you know, Portland, who you got coming up, San Antonio, who you got coming up, those are teams you just run off the floor like they did tonight. Like, those are just victories that you should expect. And it's been weird, I think, because of what Monday occurred or what happened. We haven't been able to expect certain performances from certain players. And that is, I think, what in one breath feels good about this game, but the second breath also gives you pause and say, well, can you expect that on Friday? Can you expect that energy? Can you expect that urgency? Can you expect that effort again on Friday? That's what we're waiting for. Because if you're talking about this team being a viable threat, and we've heard some people throw around playoffs tonight and, you know, making a run, especially in recent weeks, if I'm looking at a team that's got to win 4 games in 7, then you need consistency. And that's what's unfortunately been not around this team enough, in my opinion, outside of the month of February. So if tonight is a sign of things to come, that's great. But that's why I would define this evening as a bounce-back game, because you needed a win coming off the terrible loss to New York. But it's not, in my opinion, a get-right game yet unless you go beat Indiana on Friday. Because if you don't, well, then you're looking at a daunting 5-game road trip in which you're playing 3 playoff teams right off the bat in 3 tough environments, Minnesota, Orlando, and Miami. So they got to finish out this mini homestand, 3 games in 5 days. Got to finish it out with a W. Try and take that momentum on the road, a place to their credit. They've played better than they have at home, and see where we are from there. So, you know, I love the win tonight. It was necessary. But overall, I think a couple of the other things that kind of jumped out to me, you know, the front court has really established itself to me as sort of the swing factor. Now, I know a lot of people want to hone in on Wiggins as the X factor, and I did give him his flowers tonight because I think he deserves it, especially in light of what his brother shared with us on Instagram about having to leave his team in Indonesia due to personal issues back home. But really, where this Warriors team is going to win and lose games is with their front court. It's going to be because of Wiggins, Kuminga, and Draymond. And Draymond primarily at the 5. So as much as people want to see TJD, I don't know if it's in the starting lineup or alongside Draymond, I just think that's a lot to expect of a rookie at this point in his career, although he's been very good. Where they're going to win games and where they're going to be carried, outside of Curry, of course, is their front court. If those three guys play with the level of urgency and energy that they did for a condensed period of time on both ends of the floor, you don't go on a 22-0 run against any NBA team unless you lock in on both ends. So from the end of the second to the beginning of the third, their front court carried them. Wiggins had 9 of his 19 points out of that stretch in the second half. Kuminga was getting up and down. He hit a 3 down the stretch of the first half. You know, Draymond Green was kind of triggering things after he himself got a little bit triggered, admittedly, by Desmond Bane and picked up the double technicals. If the Warriors' front court is able to play at a high level, well, then I do give them a good chance to get out of the play-in and get to the playoffs. Do I think their front court is good enough to bang with, you know, the bigs in Denver or Minnesota? That remains to be seen. I do think that they match up well with OKC, but that might be getting ahead of ourselves. Again, they got to position themselves as well as possible. And I think Chris Paul said it best, both post-game on television, but also at the podium not too long ago, which is they got to focus on themselves. And that's something that I think naturally, after a loss like the Knicks, we say, oh, well, you know, it doesn't matter. Like, this team's not good enough. They're done. They're this and they're that. But really, the focus for me the last, and I would say the last, you know, 20 games of the season, so going back a week or two, has been about the clarity. The clarity of this roster, how good they can play, and where they're able to realistically, you know, kind of crystallize their ceiling. Because one thing that needed to happen this season, maybe more than anything else, was they had to figure out how good they were from a basketball standpoint. Last season was derailed because of things that did not happen on the court, whether it was an extended leave of absence from Wiggins or Draymond punching Poole or injuries that happened in the team. I don't think we found out how good that team was because of non-basketball-related issues. This year, there needs to be clarity as to how good the Warriors are and how good they are as a basketball team. Tonight's not going to answer those questions, but throughout the rest of the year, that's what I'm sort of looking for on a night-in and night-out basis. I thought Wiggins showed his best self tonight. Can we see a clarified Wiggins on Friday against Indiana? Kuminga, he looks steady as they come. Can we see that against Indiana? How is Draymond going to play against the Pacers? Because he's kind of been one game on, one game off as of late. Is Curry going to carry them offensively at home again? Is Klay Thompson going to continue to shoot the hell out of the basketball off the bench? Can Chris Paul continue to be the facilitator? These are all clarifying roles that, in my opinion, will set us up for the decisions that will have to be made this summer, and there's going to be some tough ones. But at the very least, from a basketball standpoint, we can figure out where each piece fits or where it potentially doesn't fit moving forward. So, you know, that's kind of big picture stuff. In the micro sense, this is a necessary bounce-back victory for the Warriors. Again, I don't think it's a get-right game until we see what they do on Friday against Indiana. But the final score is 137-116. I appreciate everyone tuning into this edition of Warriors Wrap-Up. It's been a long day for your boy. We'll get right back at it tomorrow. Steiny and Guru. Guru will be back in. So, of course, lock in on the morning roast from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. Then you got Steiny and Guru. The boys are back from 10 to 2. And then Willard, I believe an FP Santangelo will be in for Dibs on Willard and Dibs tomorrow from 2 to 6. And then our next broadcast is going to be on Friday. Mark Grandy's going to have that for you. So lock in there for Warriors Live and Warriors Wrap-Up right here on 95.7 The Game. And, of course, tap in with us on Saturday if you can. It's from 12 to 3 at Freeman's Appliance in Pleasant Hill. Mark Granny and myself are going to be out there doing a live show talking nothing but Dubs. Come by, say what's up, grab some of their great products. I know they got a Reg Tag clearance sale going on right now, so we're looking forward to that, as well as catching up with you before as well as after the show. But in the meantime, catch some sleep, get some Z's. We appreciate you tuning in. Everyone that called in, everyone that texted in the Comcast Business Text Line, shout out to our YouTube chat powered by First NorCal Credit Union. My name is Evan Giddings, thanking Sterling Bennett back in our 95.7 The Game studios. I'm assuming Chris O'Connell back there, who locks in every single game for us. And in the meantime, enjoy the rest of your night. The Warriors are victorious for now. We'll talk to you tomorrow right here on your home for Golden State Warriors basketball, 95.7 The Game. Have a good night. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Baseball season is heating up. Odyssey has you covered with the most entertaining coverage of your team. Stay locked in and in the know with the local voices you trust as they bring you unfiltered takes, recap games, react to the latest team news, and talk to callers. Listen to your favorite shows for free on the Odyssey app, Odyssey.com, your smart speaker, or in the car with Android Auto or Apple CarPlay.